Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
Have your Bibles this morning, Genesis chapter number 6. By the way, it's Father's Day, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers in this room. As I was going through scriptures, thinking about this Sunday morning, who was a father in Scripture that was a world changer? Who was it? Was there any? Were there any? And so as I began to think through it, we don't know if Daniel was a father, and I think of some other people that didn't change the world. And then I got to thinking about, this is Sin City, correct? So what man had a bigger job than reaching Sin City? Well, my thoughts came to a man named Noah. His job was to reach a sinful world, not just a city. And his job was to protect his family. And his job was to walk with God. I want you to see this morning, everybody in this room can be a world changer, just like Noah was. You have your Bible? Genesis chapter number 6, verse number 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. How many of you have seen that? And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Nobody in this room has seen that. That every thought of your neighbors is only evil continually. Every thought of your children, only evil continually. Every thought, the people you work with and for, only evil continually. Can you imagine the world that Noah lived in? Matter of fact, it was so wicked, it was so bad, that God said, I'm finished with it. Verse number 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Wow. I would recommend that Las Vegas is a wicked city, Sin City. But it's not like Noah's world. Notice, if you would, verse number 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man who I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, the creeping thing and the fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. If it would have stopped right there, there would be no more us. We would have no more privilege to be in heaven. Do you realize that one man saved the world? Notice verse number 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now I want you to notice what caused him to find grace. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in all his generations. And Noah walked with God. I want you to see, first off, the word just. It means he was righteous. He was a man that had made his peace with the Lord. He had asked the Lord Jesus. He had asked the God of heaven to forgive him of his sin. He had made things right with the Lord. Now, maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. I love the song today whenever the gentleman sang, and he said, I remember when I received the Lord as my Savior. And it took me back to 49 years ago when I trusted Christ as Savior. On June the 18th, just 3 days prior to this, I celebrated my spiritual birthday. And I remember back, and what a joy. Well, can you imagine? Here's Noah, and he's the only father on earth that is saved. Can you imagine being like that? Everybody in this room, we've got people we can go to and talk with. We've got examples, but not Noah. You could go if you wanted to say, how can I train my 3 boys right? There are people you could ask. I mean, Brother Dave Tice has done a wonderful job with his family. My son, I only have one child, one son, Jeremy. He's a missionary in Africa, and I want to pause and say thank you for your support of my son and his wife and family. I've had the privilege to go, my wife and I, many times, and see the orphans that you sang about, that you put up on the screen. I've seen them saved. I've seen the children that nobody cared for. The last little girl that my son took into the orphanage. He's had Joseph Kony, the rebel from southern Sudan and Congo, raid down into his village twice and kill a bunch of the parents and take the girls for slaves and the men, the young men, the young children, I'd say 12 and up for soldiers, and then leave all the little kids to die, fend for themselves. My son has an orphanage that you support that has 62 children that nobody else on the earth would care for but you and people like you in churches around this country. And I want to say thank you. The last little girl he took, heard about her, went back into a village to pick her and her brother up. When he drove up and opened up the car, the truck door, she ran off into the bush. She had not seen white men. Scared him. And little brother kind of cautiously watched. And they had to go and come back a while later. She was too scared. And when they drove up the next time, she just looked at him. What is that? I've done the same thing to my son. What is that? I don't know. Just kind of watching out what he's doing. And I looked at him and she looked at him and said, "Man, what is that?" And pretty soon he spent a little time with her and got her comfortable, got her in the truck and brought her to the orphanage. And all the orphans, the other 60, were there, and they were clapping and they were rejoicing that another orphan had come, not only just to save them from the bush, but they knew one day soon, and within a month, she bowed her head and trusted Christ as Savior. I'd like to say thank you for caring about people that no one else would. Well, here's Noah, and everywhere he looks, there's someone that no one cares about. The whole world is wicked. And God placed on his heart, well, I've got to take care of me first. I've got to begin. I trust the Lord as my Savior. And my prayer is that every father in this room has trusted Christ as Savior. If not, you can trust him this morning and become like Noah. You can put your faith and trust in Christ just like Noah, just like that little girl that trusted the Lord as Savior. And by the way, her brother also trusted Christ. You can have a home in heaven starting this morning if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, because the same God that saved Noah will save you today. And so here's Noah. He looks out and he sees a world that's lost. And he says, "You know, Lord, you're my only hope." And he trusts the Lord as Savior. And then the Bible says he became perfect. Notice, if you would, verse number 9. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. Do you know what it means? It means there was nothing between him and the Lord. He lived a life that was holy. Now, there's a difference between someone that's born into God's family and somebody that is perfect in God's sight. And in the scriptures, it means that, let me give an example. I have one son I told you about. And whenever I give my son an instruction, "Would you take out the trash?" And if he didn't, he was still my son, because he was born into my family. So as a child of God, there are things that God's asked me to do in the past that maybe I didn't do it at the time he asked me to do it. And so at that point in time, I was still God's child, but I wasn't perfect with him. The relationship wasn't perfectly matched, wasn't in harmony, until there was a time when I said, "Lord, I'm sorry." My son comes back and says, "Dad, I should have carried out the trash. I forgot. Will you forgive me?" Sure. And it's perfect again. There's a harmony between you and the Lord. So the Lord says in this passage that Noah was a just man. He was righteous before God in the sense that he had the righteousness of the Lord Jesus given to him in advance of Jesus even dying. And then you'll notice he was perfect. But you notice one other thing. It says, and Noah in verse number nine, and Noah walked with God. Do you remember the passage in the Genesis previous where Adam and Eve and God would walk together in the cool of the evening. They were not near Vegas, I'll tell you that much. Yesterday, Pastor Matt lied to me. He said that we were going to go up on the mountain and it was going to be 30 degrees cooler, a lot cooler. So I'm thinking maybe jacket, you know, a t-shirt, something like that. All we did was get up there. Now, it was nice. It was beautiful. My wife was appreciative. It was less hot, but it was not cool. I'm telling you that. But now here, Adam walked with the Lord in the cool of the evening. And as he did, all of a sudden, Adam sinned against the Lord. And God says, Adam, where art thou? Well, now, tonight, today, everyone here has an opportunity to walk with the Lord. Now, let me give you the three steps. Become a just man. Trust Christ as Savior. If you're a father or a mother here today, you must become just in the Lord's eyes. Declared righteous by God. There's a time when you realize you're a sinner. You go to the Lord Jesus and say, I'm sorry for my sin. Will you forgive me? And come into my heart and save me and take me to heaven when I die. And you're born into God's family. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. And Jesus himself said, you must be born again. So you've been born into God's family. Then you decided, I'm going to get rid of all the little sins that I commit. I'm going to just turn those over to the Lord. Lord, I want to be perfect in your sight. I want to have harmony between us. And then there's a step that you take that I want to become friends with you, Father. Moses became a friend of God. Lord, I want to get close to you. That can only happen when you decide to walk with God. Early in the morning, you get up. Late in the afternoon, whenever you spend, take a little bit of time and you read God's Word. Now, keep in mind, Moses walked with the Lord, didn't have a copy of God's Word. He just remembered some things God said, hit him in his heart, and he did them. We'll see that in just a minute. You and I have a copy of God's Word. So many Christians have a copy of God's Word, multiple of them, but they don't sit down and take the time every day and say, Lord, I want to read your Word. I want to see it. It amazes me. There are computer whizzes and guys that sometimes my computer doesn't work or my phone doesn't work and it has something to do with the computer back in the office. I don't get that. But I'll call the guy and say, hey, my phone's not sending email. I mean, it's not sending email to my phone. He said, oh, I'll go reboot the server. I don't even know what a server is, but it's in your church. And then he'll go in there and do some things, and all of a sudden it starts working. I said, how'd you learn it? He said, there's books. You know, we got manuals. I said, wow. You know, how do you walk with God? There's a manual. And you have to study God's Word, read God's Word, and you find out, thou shalt not. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that's thy neighbor's. You also put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You begin to add things to your life. So as you begin to read God's Word, you begin to say, there's some things God wants me to do. I want to walk with Him. I want to get close to Him. So I'm going to put these things on in my life. And then you can notice, and He says, and He talked with the Lord. So He's walking with the Lord, and Adam and Eve talked with the Lord in the cool of the evening. Do you talk with the Lord daily? Well, I don't mean riding in your car. I mean, you block out the world and you get a little bit of time alone and you get into your closet, Matthew says. You get into a place where it's just you and the Lord and you spend time with Him. You walk with Him. You know what? There's no great Christians that don't walk with the Lord. Oh, they're Christians, but they're not great in His sight unless you walk with God. What stopped the destruction of the total world and mankind? One man that walked with God. What's going to stop the destruction of your family? Extended family. Perhaps one man or one woman that walks with God. That people see and say there's something different about them. I want what they have. Noah was that man. Now, he had three sons and a wife. They walked with the Lord too. We know that because they went into the ark. But now, can you imagine, as Noah walked with God, God said to him, Noah, I want you to do something for me. Notice with me, if you would, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 14. He says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou pitch in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without, with pitch in verse 15. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of it, of the ark, shall be 300 cubits. That's 450 feet approximately. And the breadth of it, 50 cubits. That's 75 feet approximately. And the height of it, 30 cubits, 45 feet or 4.5 stories. And by the way, that's almost the exact dimensions of the most stable vessels on earth, barges. But God knew that. And we just copied it some 2,000 years later or 6,000 years later. We finally took God's plan and figured it out. Well, I want you to notice, keep in mind, God says, I want you to work for me. I want you to build this ark. Now, Moses could have said, Lord, I don't want to work for you. That's too much trouble. Ever said that? Lord, do you want me to build an ark? What is an ark? What's it for? God said it's going to rain. What's rain, Lord? Well, it's going to rain drops of water from heaven. And then it's going to the earth's going to break up and water's going to come from beneath. And that ark is going to float and save your family and anybody you can get into it. And so here Noah says, okay, Lord, I'll build the ark. So for 120 years, he's cutting down lumber, gopher wood, and he's getting pitch and tar, and he's making an ark. Now, can you imagine what people must have said? Now, he's working for the Lord. And by the way, we know he did a great job. If you have your Bible, turn, if you would, to chapter 6 and verse number 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So he worked for God so faithfully that God said, he did everything that I asked. Have you and I done that? Have we have worked so faithfully for our God that he would look at us and say, you've done everything I've asked you to do? Well, if you could imagine, he's working for the Lord. He followed God's plan. I mean, he took the plan that God gave him. I don't know if he wrote it down or what he did, but he took God's plan and he worked at it for 120 years. And he's building this ark. And can you imagine his three sons? Dad, what's the plan? Well, God gave me this plan. Here it is, guys. Okay, and they lay it out. So four men work on this plan for all this time. And they're working on it faithfully. And they're, you know, in order to have a great family, you've got to work on some things together. You've got to do some things together. You got to spend time with your children, your wife. Now, I would imagine she went to Chick-fil-A and got some of that great lemonade and brought it out every day for lunch or something like that. Or maybe she went to Firehouse Subs and brought some subs in and said, here's lunch, guys. She did something. She took care of them. And together as a family for 120 years, they worked the plan of God. And you know what I'd like to encourage you, fathers, in this room, is to get your family to work the plan of God in your life. I notice that as they worked together, they became closer to each other. Now, he's got three boys, and so as they're working together, I notice that they focused on just doing what God wanted them to do. Because remember, everybody in the world is wicked. So can you imagine the peer pressure to do what is wrong in the world? Can you imagine? Well, he's out here in the middle of some open place or some ground, and he's building an ark that nobody has ever seen. Can you imagine the mockery he must have felt and heard? Hey, Noah, what you building? An ark. What's that? Can you imagine all the laughter? You know, there are people when I was building my family with my son and my wife and I, and we would spend time together. And there were people that come up to us and say, you know, what are you doing, Pastor? So I'm trying to protect my family. I'm trying to build a son that wants to do what's right. I'm trying to help my wife and I grow closer together that we can do what is right. And Noah worked on the plan of God and built his family into a great family. Have we done that? You know, I told my son, you pick your friends wisely. Now, son, listen to me. There's a lot of people in the world that claim to be Christians. They're not all worth being your friends. You're God's child, and besides that, you're a pitman. That means you better do what's right. Because you're going to embarrass your mom and I, but worse than that, you're going to embarrass your God. We don't want to do that. Pitmans don't do that. We tried to build into him a character and a love for Christ. And Noah did the same thing. He did it out there working in the ground and working on top of the ground, building this ark. He spent time. You know, you need to have some projects with your family. My son and I, we played ping pong a lot. We get together. We went to church. We went to temple. I left a youth group of 200 and went to temple. And there were two kids. My son really wasn't allowed to hang around those two much. So he didn't have anybody. So I said, son, you and I hang out together. So we played ping pong. We played basketball. I mean, we set up basketball goals and we did. We might play 8, 10, 15 ping pong games a night. And mom would come down and watch us. And we just had a good time. And every time we get the football, we'd throw it back and forth in the yard. And we'd play catch. And we'd talk about girls and about guys and about what kind of friends to have. And then he mentioned he had a friend named Matt Tice. I said, that's a bum deal. Don't get that friend. And he and Matt became close friends. You know, if he's got to pick a friend, that'd be a good friend. You know, are your kids friends with godly people? Do you realize Noah's three sons had no Matt Tices available? At least my son had a few. Can you imagine the effort he had to put into his family? For 120 years of peer pressure. Hey, come on over here. Ham, come over and play with us. No, I'm helping my dad. Hey, Shem, come over here with us. No, I can help my dad. You think we have trouble. You think we have pressure. And then can you imagine how he withstood the world? You think you're better than us, don't you? How many have ever heard that? Think you're better than us. No, I don't. I don't really. It's just that I want to do what God wants me to do. Yeah, you think you're better than us. And so for 120 years, his family withstood the pressure of the world. And there was nobody that did what was right outside that family of his. And I'm sure his children came up to his sons. He said, Dad, what are we going to do? We'd like to get married one day. We'd like to have a family one day. And he says, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll preach. And so God put on his heart to preach. And so he preached for 120 years. And about every 40 years, somebody would get saved. I wonder how many of us would still be preaching if we only had one saved every 40 years. Three young ladies trusted Christ. They became just, then perfect, and then walked with the Lord. And they married his three sons. There was only eight that went into the ark. After preaching for 120 years. I wonder how many of us would be faithful. We have a hard time getting people to be faithful for 120 days, let alone 120 years. Can you imagine? One of my greatest treasures is an old man in our church that had been faithful his whole life. And when he would pray, his name was Mr. Cumbus. And whenever he would get, they'd call on him to pray. And he would stand up and say, oh, God. And you could just, I'd peek. Where's the Lord? Where is he? There was just some presence he had about him. His son's a preacher. He was a godly man. I pictured Noah. That when he would pray, oh, Father, that his sons would look, where's the Lord? They had so much respect for him. We need some fathers like Noah. That your wives and your sons look at you and say, your daughters, I want to be like Dad. We don't have many Noahs today. But you could be. Everyone in this room, don't give up your children to the world. Noah didn't. And he had far worse trial of trouble than we do. All of us in this room can stand up and say, not my family, we're going to serve the Lord. And I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you to withstand the world. But for 120 years, he witnessed to the world. I mean, he preached and he preached and he preached. There are times whenever I've preached God's word and I've poured my heart out and not one person has come to trust Christ as Savior. And I say, oh Lord, what am I doing? Lord, I'm sorry. But I cannot imagine going a whole year and preaching your heart out and laboring for the Lord and not seeing one person saved and yet doing everything right. Now that takes something right here that I don't think I've got yet. But Noah had it. And you know, if you walk with the Lord, the longer you walk with the Lord, the more you get right there. To where you say no to the world, yes to the work of God, and all of a sudden you begin to see the blessing of the Lord upon your life. Now, I would imagine they had some great family times. How about supper? Oh, man, they all got together, and his three sons, and they got their three wives, and I guarantee you they had family time like you and I have never seen, for the most part. Dad, you think anybody else ever gets saved? I don't know, son, but we're going to pray for them. We're going to plead with God, too. Can you imagine? 120 years, only three saved. You know, my son is in northern Uganda, and he says it's a place of low-hanging fruit. That's his term. He said, I go out in the bush, and I'll meet some guy, and I'll sit down and tell him about the Lord. Maybe he's never even heard of Jesus Christ. He's still thrilled. He wants him as his Savior. Another one, he's been taught that maybe you got to work your way to heaven. And he said, no, that's why Jesus died, was to pay your debt. You don't have to work your way to heaven. You just have to trust him. And all of a sudden, he says, I want to trust Christ as Savior. And then because, you know, for them, he said, would you give your life to the Lord? Sure. I don't have a fireman's job to go to. I'd break rocks at the rock factory down the street. I'd love to serve the Lord. And so he's got 25 or 30 preacher boys that come in and say, we want to preach the gospel to our village. We want to start a church in our village. And of those 125 churches, they want to start 20 or 30 more in the next 5-7 years. They said, we want to start some churches. We want to preach the gospel. And so I would ask you today, how many of you in this room will say, look, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll tell the world about Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not going to be, you've got to surrender, but maybe you're not going to be going to Thailand. Because God doesn't want you in Thailand. Aren't you glad God doesn't call all of your people to go to Thailand or China? Who would pay your salary? That's right. Who would pay for the lights in this building? So God wants people here. By the way, then, who would reach the people of Vegas? You see, this is your world. You can't just look at it and say, that's the preacher's job. Noah said, family, this is our job. And they and their family. Are you and your family involved in the work of the Lord? In the ministry of reaching the world? Now, Noah preached the word of God. He didn't have any written materials. So he couldn't pass out a tract, but you and I can. He didn't go through to the 7-Eleven and be so busy that he couldn't take time to sit down and share the gospel with them. But there are times for us, we have calendars and day timers and we have schedules and we've got to keep them. So we're running around trying to keep everything. Noah, he had one thing to do. He had to build an ark. So he could witness to people, but nobody would listen. Do you understand today that we can do much the same thing Noah did? We can preach the gospel. We can sit down and tell people about how wonderful Jesus Christ is. Yesterday, on visitation, I walked in. I didn't have to knock on the door because the garage door was open. I walked up, looked in the garage door, and went in. My wife had gone with me, and I walked up the garage door, and I looked out there, and there was a gentleman sitting in there. And I went in, and I sat down. I had a chair right there. It was perfect. It was a perfect arrangement. I went in and sat down right in the chair, and I said, how are you doing? My name is Pastor Pittman. He said, how are you doing? My name, and he gave me his name. I said, you know, I just came by to talk to you about how wonderful the Lord is. You got a minute? He said, well, actually, I'm dying of bone cancer. I said, you know what? You're just the kind of guy that the Lord sent me around to tell about the Lord. Took out a tract and began to share the gospel with him. I said, would you consider trusting Christ as your Savior? He said, I'm not ready yet. I said, you have bone cancer. The doctors are amazed you're still here. And you're not ready yet. Noah heard that every time he witnessed. I cannot imagine. I went away shaking my head. Unbelievable. If I could pray, I'd pray for you, sir. I'm just not ready yet, preacher. Okay. I just want you to know the Lord loves you. Okay. All right. You can do that. And you'll see some people saved, unlike Noah. You can pass out tracts, and you'll have people. There are people in our church that have been saved because somebody gave them a tract. Last Sunday, we had a family of six join our church because I asked them, I said, well, what brought you to our church? Oh, those tracks. I said, what do you mean the tracks? Well, I work at the grocery store down the street and I got so many of those tracks, I had to come to the church and figure out what was going on. I said, praise the Lord. We're glad to have you. You can do that. Noah couldn't because nobody would take one. I don't want that thing. But you know, you got a chance to do something Noah didn't. Noah couldn't send a missionary around the world. You can. Do you understand that Noah didn't have the privilege of working in faith promise like you and I do? Noah was trying to reach his world, and that was the best that he could do, and he did a great job of it, only nobody would listen. But you and I have the privilege of sending people around the world to orphans and to children that have never heard. And I calculated up there, $5 it took to win 91,000 people. Every $5, somebody got saved. What an investment. How many of you got a better idea to spend $5? You think drinking that latte at Starbucks? Or one soul, one in Africa. That ain't a hard choice. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. Because I have those things from time to time too. But I want you to know that you got to set aside some funds to say, I'm going to invest in the souls of people around this world that nobody cares about. Because we got missionaries here today, six of them that said, I'll go to China. I'll go to Thailand. Now, maybe you would be willing to say, I'll go too, but God hadn't called me. But he has called them. And they can't go without churches like us, without people like you that say, I'll send them. I'll chip in. My son wouldn't be in Africa if it weren't people like you. I'll send them. And I am grateful. And I'm telling you, there are going to be people walk up to you in heaven and say, are you so-and-so? Are you Dave Tice? Are you? And it's going to call your name and say, I want to thank you. I don't know who you are. Oh, I know, but you sent that missionary. He told me about Jesus Christ. I just want to tell you, thank you. Give you a big old hug. But if you keep spending your money on things you want, you don't invest it in spiritual things, you won't get that hug. You see, lay up treasure in heaven. Lay up treasure in heaven. How many of you have ever been to a funeral? Raise your hand. How many of you, when you go out behind the hearse, there's a U-Haul trailer. And they got all their furniture in that trailer. They're going to take it to the grave with them. You know what? When they go in that casket, they leave it all. And so will you. Except what you lay up in heaven. Lay up treasure in heaven. You got missionaries here willing to go in your place. Represent you. Can I encourage you to do it? He witnessed to the world. He pled with the world to be saved and nobody would listen. But he still won the victory. And I want you to understand, faithfulness is the way you win the victory. Doing the right thing, walking with the Lord day by day, giving day by day, witnessing day by day. Being a faithful father. Being one that your sons can look up and say, I want to be like Dad. I want to have a vocabulary like Dad. I want to have thoughts like Dad. I want to have footsteps like Dad. I want to be like him. You can be a faithful father and stand before the Lord and hear the words, well done. And I can think of no better way to live. And no better purpose. And you can have people standing behind you that you brought to heaven with you. Either by witnessing to them yourself or sending these missionaries. He won the victory. And I'm going to just give you this very quickly. He won the victory by safeguarding his family. Have you done that? Have you put a hedge about them by prayer and time and example? Safeguard your family. I want to encourage you to surrender your heart to do what the Lord wants you to do. And you can be a world changer. You can save the world. I was on a missions trip for the Amazon River Basin 2 years ago. We pulled up to the last village on the Amazon River where the road stops. No way to go past that except by boat. It goes into the Jabari Valley. The Jabari Valley is the largest group of unreached people in the world. Where there's no missionaries, no churches, no nothing. And a couple of our guys went back on a speedboat, went back a day, put a 55-gallon container drum of gas so they could get back, and went down and started going up the villages and taking medical supplies. They had a dentist with them going up and treating people. And they went to one village and got run out by, it was a drug cartel, managed the whole village. And they had to run, get back in the boat and speed down the river to get away from the drug cartel. Well, I looked at that and I said, wow, you guys had an exciting time. We did too. And we were talking back and forth. And so we'd gone to this last little village and I was sitting there looking at this Bible college that they want us to build, a little Bible building for the Bible Institute. And we put in the foundation and built the walls. I looked around and I said, I don't see the lumber. They said, the lumber is in the rainforest. I said, it's still in the rainforest? Yeah. It's supposed to have been down about 3 months ago, but we haven't seen it yet. I said, why don't you go up and get it? Well, we just hadn't had time to go up and get it. I said, look, I got 15 men. I got 10 of them standing right here. We need that lumber. And so four of us got in the boat, and we went with the pastor, the missionary, and we went up the Amazon River. He said, it's about an hour up there. Well, 4 hours later, we went from a one-mile-wide flooded Amazon to a little tributary about as wide as what this piano is sitting on. And I got off the boat, and I saw, I don't know how many, 40 or 50 boards laid out, 8 inches wide, that families of woodcutters in the Amazon rainforest with a tarp pulled over the top of them. And that was where they lived. That's what they did for a living. And it thought hit me. Who's going to tell them about Jesus Christ? I mean, my cell phone didn't work. There was no GPS coordinates. God didn't know where we were. We were totally lost. Obviously, I'm joking. But I felt that way. And we went up on the mountainside, and they'd cut wood here and cut wood there. And we put it on our shoulders and walked down the timber down the side and put it down the little tributary there, loaded on a boat. And then it flooded that night. It rained. It poured like cats and dogs. And I could hear the missionary that was with us, that young preacher that spoke their language. He was there just preaching the gospel to them hours into the night. I said, who's going to care about these people? You realize tonight, today, that you can care. You can care by being careful the way you spend your money, by prioritizing. Now, I want you to understand this. Your money for Faith Promise doesn't go to pay these light bills. It doesn't go to pay for the pastors of this church. It goes 100% to help missionaries reach the world. No better way to spend your money. You see Salvation Army, when they hold that at Christmas time, and they ring the little bell, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's nowhere close to 100%. It's the greatest investment I know of on this earth. Faith Promise Missions. Our church gives to it. I give to it. My wife and I give to it. We increase our Faith Promise offering every year. You know why? Not because we want to be a good example, because I don't tell everybody that every year, but every year we increase our Faith Promise because I know the world is lost and there's more lost people this year than there were last year. We're losing ground. So we have to keep doing more. And some of you have got to not just send your money, you've got to send yourself or send your son or send your daughter. Because God needs them. Are you willing? Are you willing to be like a Noah that surrendered everything? He surrendered his reputation. He surrendered his life's work. His life's work was to do what the Lord wanted and preach the gospel. And he saved the world, literally. But he also saved his family. Now today, we can do exactly the same thing. You in this room, maybe there's a man in this room, your family's starting to go awry a little bit. You can come down this altar and say, Lord, please help me. I want to safeguard my family. And God will help you. You can talk to Pastor Tice and he'll give you some direction. Take scripture and you can begin to make some changes and begin those footsteps so that you walk with God. And your children look at you as something different about Dad. Today, I can tell you story after story after story where a father's life changed. And it affected his family. Noah's life changed in the sense that he walked with the Lord. Could I plead with you, fathers, today? Could I plead with you to just say, look, Pastor Pittman, I want to give my heart to the Lord. I'll do whatever he wants me to do. Palms up, Lord. I'll give you anything. Could I plead with you today? Just step out of your seat in just a minute and come down to this altar. I'll give you my heart. Your kids are watching. Your wife is watching. Maybe there's a lady here today. Lord, I'll give you my heart. You come. Your husband's watching. Your grandchildren are watching. Do you understand? God needs you and me. He needed Noah to change the world. And you can become a world changer if you give your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do. And I look at Noah and I see he worked for the Lord. He walked with the Lord. He witnessed to the world. And he won the victory because of one thing. What he did with Jesus Christ. You can do the same thing. Could I ask you this question? How do you spend your money? How do you spend your time? How do you spend your heart? Where the heart is, where your money, treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is your treasure in heaven? Lord, I want to be with you. Your finances in heaven? Lord, I want to lay up treasure in heaven for you. I think of that little girl that I met Christmas a year ago. Comes running up. I met Jesus Christ. I trusted Jesus as my Savior. Comes hug you around the leg that I know would never know the wonders of Christ if somebody like you hadn't sent missionaries to tell her. Today, would you give to the Lord? Give yourself first. And then give your family next. And then give your finances next. You cannot give the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. The legacy that Noah left is one that all of us need to take very close account of. Could I plead with you today to be a world changer? Give your heart to the Lord today. When you fill out your faith promise, you pause and say, Lord, could I give just $5 more? Do you realize $5 for the value of a soul? And can you imagine Noah saying to his sons, we've got to just keep it up another year, just one more month, just one more day. One of these days, the Lord's going to close the door and it's going to be too late. We've got to keep it up, fellas. We've got to keep it up. Today, Noah was faithful. Will you be? We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand. And I'm going to ask the pianist to play a verse of invitation hymn. And maybe you need to come to this altar. Maybe there's a father that wants to be a world changer or just a family changer. Or just you want to change your own heart. You want to walk with the Lord. Could I encourage you to come to this altar this morning? Lord, I want to walk with you. I'm willing to do what it takes to walk with you. I'm willing to set a time in the morning and a time in the evening. I want to walk in the cool of the evening with you. Could I encourage you to do that? And maybe you're here today and you say, I've got a number in my heart, but the Lord's working on me to change it. Change it. Be a world changer. Do what God wants you to do this morning. Lord Jesus, you see our hearts today. And Lord, I know that you've got great things in store for the people of Liberty Baptist Church, but only if they're willing to give you their heart. Lord, if they're willing to surrender. And Father, I pray that you'd help them surrender not just their money, but Lord, their children and themselves. Father, help us to be like Noah. He was a great father. Lord, help us to have great homes and to be a world changer. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.